Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Lisa Suantes and Adair Christensen, the regional communications managers for the Colorado Department of Transportation. Really good to see both of you.
Oh, thanks for having us. They also call us the CDOT chicks.
The CDOT. the CDOT chicks. Adair, it's good to see you. Adair, good to meet you.
Thank you. And yes, you can also catch us pulling over to take pictures of all things highway transportation.
Well, you said you had just come over from Durango over Wolf Creek, and we're talking about the spectacular fall beauty.
Oh, yes. I think this is the last peak week, as you would say, for those leaf peepers. And we are included in that group for sure.
Yeah.
Beautiful drive.
Yeah. It was a gorgeous drive. And we did find a few folks pulling over on the side of the road to, you know, get their shots with their iPhone or their camera. And we want to just make sure everybody's pulling over far enough. And pay attention to what you're doing. Make sure that if you get out of your vehicle that you're watching for that traffic that's passing by. And if you're driving, watch out for those leaf peepers.
So. Yeah, no, that's a really good note, Lisa, because I do that. I did that yesterday on my way over La Vida Pass on my way to Pueblo. Did it, pulled off, took a photo, got back in and kept going. But I bring that up too because I went through Fort Garland over La Vida Pass, and I have to say that that construction project, the Fort Garland Wildlife Underpass construction project, is fantastic.
It is fantastic. We are always so proud of our wildlife mitigation projects. They are very, very beneficial, and we see improvements in traffic safety the moment they're done, and sometimes even before. Lots of times where we identify that these types of projects are needed and these wildlife features are needed, like underpasses, high fencing, deer guards, which are kind of like super duper cattle guards at access points, that can reduce wildlife vehicle crashes by 85-90%. And so if we can take away those crashes, it's just a much safer highway for humans, the drivers, and for the animals.
Well, and I got a little bit of a tour behind the scenes tour to see how that construction happens. And it's just fascinating how you create those wildlife underpasses and all the engineering that has to happen. And then you build these big old tunnels for the elk and the deer and everyone to go through and go under La Vida. That's a really cool project just to watch the construction. The other thing I've heard about it is locals complimenting. Don't hear this a lot. Locals complimenting CDOT for the aesthetics of that project with the wooden posts and all the fencing and miles of, it's pretty.
It's going to be a handsome project. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, what happens is we build our roadways that bisect natural animal habitat corridors. So that is why we see the animal vehicle collisions that occur. If we can help those animals continue to migrate and move naturally like they're supposed to, if we can put in some, and that piece, that stretch of highway needed improvements anyway for the intersection. Adair, you want to take that?
Yeah, so included in that project is the safety improvements for the Trinchera Ranch Road.
Right.
So traffic coming in both directions, eastbound, westbound, we'll see, we're working on it now, turn lanes, Excel, decel lane. So that's going to be a much safer intersection for animals and motorists.
What's the update in terms of the timing? Because it looks to me that CDOT got a lot done this year. Got a lot done. And you're still, the weather's still cooperating. You're still out there. You're still working. Or are you just completion, I guess?
So we could put it this way. We are trying to put it into full gear and get a lot wrapped up and tied in before the snow flies.
Gotcha.
So you're going to see a lot of changes out there. The intersection at Trinchera Ranch is going to be closed for maybe a week so we can get some of those intersection improvements done. That's going to happen mid-October, late October. We'll get some public notices out, but the engineers and construction crews are really hoping to have those overpasses 90% complete. The little shoe fly detours will be moved this winter, and hopefully you will be traveling over those overpasses before November. Gotcha. That's our hopes, Lisa. Anything else?
Yeah, no. And if we can get that done by the end of November, December, if the weather cooperates, then we do have to come back next season in the spring. And that entire stretch, I think it's 7 miles from Fort Garland to right. the end of the project area, that'll get a brand new overlay, that whole stretch. We'll get that final overlay. We'll button up the fencing so that the animals will use the underpass, and so we're looking forward to that.
It was a really cool project, and I appreciate CDOT allowing me to go behind the scenes to see that
back.
Was really yeah. really cool. Since we're in that area, I'm just going to kind of follow the okay. highway from here into Alamosa, because when you're coming into Alamosa now onto the east side of Alamosa, mm-hmm. you see a new Love's under construction. You know, there's been a lot of improvements on the highway to Mosca from there. And I know CDOT is working through infrastructure, sidewalking, all of those types of things as you then come over the East Side Bridge into Alamosa. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening in their infrastructure, or where, how CDOT, I guess, attacks that type of project?
Right. So we've got a pretty great, I would call them, planning division. And they work very, very closely with all of the counties, with the municipalities. And we listen to them. We want to hear what they think the priorities are. We see that traffic is increasing, right, in an area. We see that foot traffic is increasing in a particular area. We work together with the communities to identify what kind of projects need to be coming down the line. And a multimodal project is definitely in the works as the in that area that you're talking about, mm-hmm. because we don't want pedestrians to be playing Frogger, trying to cross the highway. We want to give them safe opportunities to cross at designated crossing areas. And we want it to tie into the improvements that the community is making, as you mentioned right there at the park.
Right, on
the
Cole Park, along right.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's just talk about that real quick to explain when CDOT is talking about, in this case, a US 160 multimodal improvement project. CDOT has really been emphasizing multimodal. Explain that. Explain what that means, who that's targeted toward, and why Colorado Department of Transportation is valuing multimodal projects like this one.
Yeah, most of the projects you see come out of CDOT nowadays have some kind of multimodal component added to it. And that's because we're looking out for all kinds of traffic. There's not just motorists on the road. We have bicyclists, pedestrians. So when we talk about a big multimodal project, a lot of times it includes accessible crosswalks, curbs, sidewalks that people with different disabilities can use, and bike lanes. So also bus stops. We are encouraging public transport. So all different components come into play. We're not just focusing on the vehicle aspect of things.
I appreciate that as a pedestrian, as a bicyclist. But let me ask you this. Do multimodal projects get understood the same way in rural communities, small towns like Alamosa, valued versus a metro area or a bigger region of Colorado where you do see more population, you see more people on bikes, you see more people walking, and so multimodal becomes more necessary in the small towns like this one, because we hear it and see it, you get a little bit of pushback. Well, no, it's for cars. It's for roads are for cars, not for bikes, not for... See what I'm saying?
Oh, I certainly
hear... And I don't know if that's a small town thing...
I can see that being a small town thing, but I guess playing devil's advocate, I would want to say, hey, rural community, don't you want that slower traffic to come right through your town? Don't you want to entice them to stop and spend a few hours and, peer into right. your shops and stop for coffee? Don't you want to make it easier for your residents, your community members to, navigate through a town walking or riding their bike. We're just trying to make that just a better place, a better sense of community for you.
And I appreciate that as a resident. I'm just saying, I see my friends that are in their trucks and they're like, no, this is for me, man. But I appreciate what you're doing there with the emphasis on multimodal and what we're going to see probably there at 160 and the East Side Bridge here in Alamosa. It sounds like CDOT is working through those plans to put more infrastructure in place in that corridor, Adair.
Yeah, working through the plans. Can we give you set dates? No, it's probably still a few years out, maybe several years out. A lot of these projects depend on buy-in from both the community, CDOT, grants. We look for a lot through a lot of different funding sources, so we can't really hone in on the exact details or plans until, of course, that funding is secured and then securing a contractor or construction team.
Okay, I'm going to continue on my path through Alamosa and the San Luis Valley as we cross the East Side Bridge into downtown Alamosa. Mm-hmm. And it puts us on Main Street. And we know the city of Alamosa, CDOT, have been working through, you call it lane diets or you call it narrowing. So you create this friction between motorists and pedestrians, bicyclists. Again, the people we're talking about. And we're on Main Street, and you put a crossing light there, thank you, at San Juan and Main Street to allow for pedestrians, others to cross back and forth. How's that working out?
I love the way your studio staff talked about it before we got recording, and we want to take away the dominance from that huge vehicle, whether it's a big rig, yeah, or if it's a F-160 or, you know, we want to give some ownership back on that corridor to the pedestrians, and we want to help them cross the street safely. As you mentioned, in downtown Alamosa, that road diet included stretching if you have a crosswalk, you know, we bumped out from the curb. It curves and bumps out closer into the lanes, which if you're in a vehicle, you see those bump outs and it's a naturally calming. You're putting your foot on the brake a little bit, so you're slowing down. And then you see a pedestrian hit that button to cross. And they have the right of way. They should get going as soon as they hit that button, make eye contact with that oncoming traffic, wave at them, and then cross the street.
Well, that's kind of, and I haven't said this to you in a dare, but that's become my daytime hobby. I go and I stand at San Juan and Main Street and I hit that button so that people can cross, because people hit the button and then they still wait for the cars to go by and then they never go. And I'm like, hit the button and then start walking.
Well, I hope you're making tips, because we see that still in Durango sometimes. It kills our engineers. Like, do we need to teach people how to use a crosswalk? And like you said before, well, we've been trained to travel in our car so much. Maybe we do need a lesson on using crosswalks again. And that's just a good reminder at those RFBs, we call them, the flashing crosswalks. You hit the button when that light starts flashing, you're allowed to cross, but also take your safety into your own hands and make eye contact with those drivers. I know Lisa does a little parade wave, like really make sure
I'm gonna start to do that.
Those motorists see you before you cross. The light is not total protection.
Are there other improvements in that area or the Main Street area that CDOT and the city of Alamosa are working on? Are there other things?
No major improvements like happening within the next year, but there's always the chance that like a new Love's gas station or a big development will happen. And what CDOT does, instead of us going out there and doing a project, we require these developments that bring in a lot of vehicle traffic to make the highway safe for their new customers. So sometimes if you do see a new development, new big subdivision, they'll be required by CDOT to pay for and build safe turn lanes.
Well, let me ask you, because when you were saying that, the hotel under construction at downtown Alamosa, the Springfield Marriott Springfield Suites that's going up there at State and Main, and you have the one way going eastbound on 6th Street. I'm going to be really curious to see when that hotel opens, how the traffic circulates to get into that hotel and out, and how they figure out how to do that when they're coming in from either Main Street and then having to come around to get there, or coming down 6th Street to get in there. That's going to be an interesting, to what you just said, that's going to be an interesting project to see how that reshapes traffic in that area downtown. Mm-hmm. Do you see that when you see downtown hotels like we're seeing here in Alamosa at State and Main? Do you see effects or changes to traffic patterns locally in a core city like that?
Yes, we will see changes. As Adair just mentioned, whenever a new development is occurring, that part of the process for them is to contact, if they're touching a state highway, they've got to contact CDOT to get permitting on their access points. And if we determine, if our traffic and safety division determines that it's going to constitute improvements like a turn lane, whatever their access, their driveway looks like, it's got to meet the standard that we set forth for them. So yeah,
that's going to be an interesting, I'm going to be curious. I'm going to be standing down there. Yeah. So I do this, Lisa and Adair.
I don't doubt it.
I walk Alamos and I stand downtown on Main Street and we watch how things, we did that recently with Brianna Robles and Owen, and we followed up with you. We walked down to Main Street and we watched the traffic to time the signal lights to see how traffic moves through 160 in Alamosa, east, west, Main Street 6th versus the inner city traffic.
Right. And you were able to chat with our...
Right. You put me in touch with an engineer who took us out there, and we learned a lot. We understood, but we'd like to do that.
And we like people like you. We actually thank you for that. And we depend on the public. I mean, we're public servants. We depend on your observations to improve things. That specific instance, our signal technicians are always tweaking those signals based on what the public is telling us. School just started back up. There's too much but traffic backing up, and they'll go out there and tweak that to assist with the flow of traffic. So thank you, Chris. We depend on your observations.
I'm gonna keep moving on. I'm leaving Alamosa finally, because I know that CDOT has a lot of projects outside of Alamosa, and we're going to talk about that next. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Hannah Eubanks with a Valley Calendar update. Here are some events you can look forward to this week. Wednesday and Thursday this week at 5:30, enjoy a free and educational movie at Zaki's Planetarium on the ASU campus. In Center on Saturday, celebrate Dia de los Muertos from 5 to 8. There will be live music, a community altar, and an art exhibition. Head to the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op on Saturday for the Spadefoot Story Slam. This month's theme is Aftermath. This event starts at 6. You can find details for these events and more at alamosacitizen.com. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. Head to the Valley Calendar page on alamosacitizen.com, click online form, and give us the details. That'll do for now. Have a great week.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Colorado Department of Transportation and Communications managers for the Southwest. How many counties do you cover, Lisa?
We cover 15, and sometimes I argue 16, because sometimes our region encroaches just a few miles into a county, and I'm like, we need to claim that county. But officially, we have 15 counties that Region 5, Southwest, South Central, CDOT covers, and basically, we are from La Vida Pass into the valley, all the way up to BV and Monarch Pass, then over Wolf Creek Pass, all the way to the Four Corners, and then up the US 550 Mountain Corridor and 145 Corridor, all the way to Montrose County. So
you just came over Wolf Creek into Alamosa, took you through Pagosa Springs. We hear about the downtown project on 160 through Pagosa Springs. We've heard about that. I don't go that way too often myself, but I know people that do, and they've brought that project. What's happening in Pagosa Springs?
Well, it's a pretty big project. It's a two-season project, so it's going to take over the course of two summers to complete. And what's happening is we are ripping out the roadway completely. It was an asphalt roadway, and we're replacing it with concrete surface, which is going to be a lot more durable and increase the longevity for those large vehicles, high volume of traffic coming over that road. In addition to that, we're wrapping a bunch of things all together. So new concrete roadway, and then upgrading a ton of utilities underneath the highway. And what's great about Pagosa is they had a lot of utilities and some interesting ones like geothermal utilities.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of new things to focus on and popping up. And so we're working with the town and their utility companies to get those replaced before we cover up the road with concrete. And then the really nice thing about this project is the beautification portion. Pagosa's going to see some new sidewalks, some planters, some hangers for flower pots, and some safe pedestrian features that will also assist with that downtown tourism and traffic flow.
We want some of that love. We want some of that love, Adair, in Alamosa.
Well, we will keep fighting for it. And like we said, it's great to be able to create that calming effect for traffic. We don't want to totally bypass a downtown. We don't want that downtown culture and vibrancy to die. We want to encourage people to come down there and drive safely through
the
town.
When you said that reminded me of something that Julie Constance said.
Mm-hmm. And she's our transportation director.
Right. Yeah. This was at a meeting with Alamosa County earlier this end of summer. I think it was in August, September sometime. And I was listening to the meeting, and I really appreciated something she said. Arlen Van Rye, the county commissioner, was asking about Main Street, what we just talked about, the pedestrian crossings, and he made the point or asked the question, would CDOT ever consider, or has anyone looked at, a bypass through Alamosa? And Julie said, no. Why? Because it's not good for communities like Alamosa, where then you bypass your main street and everything ends up on the edges and you lose the heart of your downtown. I appreciated that response.
I do too. And I'm glad that she was able to convey that to the county commissioner, because I think we're married to our vehicles and we want to get from point A to point B as quickly as we possibly can. But sometimes I think we need to be reminded that let's slow down, or, you know, it's okay that we have to go through a downtown area to get from point A to point B, because maybe you might stop there. And as you mentioned, it's the heart of a community. So we as a state agency do not want to take that away from a community.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate then what you're doing in Pagosa Springs to make sure that doesn't happen to that town. CDOT has been doing quite a bit of work in the valley this summer. This year, you had a major paving project on the Gun Barrel around Monta Vista Del Norte. What happened there? How much was that? There's a lot of miles there.
You know, there are a lot of miles, and I can't think of the exact amount, but you know, from the Gun Barrel station at Highway 112 and 285 and that diagonal cutoff that takes you down till Del Norte, that was all fully repaved. Residents, businesses along there saw new improved driveways and access. And then as far as right in Del Norte, we worked with the railroad and the town to do some improvements at the railroad crossing. So that was a really good project, and they are just wrapping things up. I'd say next week or the week after, that project should be completed.
Go ahead.
And yeah, I just wanted to say also, we had a local agency project. And a local agency project is when CDOT works with the local community, the local town, municipality, the city. Projects are identified, and that money can come from a different pot, and it's considered a local agency project. So we help design that project, but then we give the project to the local agency, and they own it, and they hire the contractors. And if you haven't been through downtown Del Norte, it's gorgeous. Yeah, they just completed their local agency project of new sidewalks and pedestrian crossings, beautiful lamp posts. I was so impressed. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree with you. Del Norte is coming along pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. As a little town. It's a nice little town to go through, mm-hmm. and it makes you want to stop there mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. With the project that you just mm-hmm. mentioned, it makes you want to stop even more, have a cup of coffee, whatever it is, and then move on maybe. Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you about upcoming projects, because you have a couple coming up around the Antonito area, La Manga Pass area in 2026. Let's talk about what's going to happen there. You have two bridges, or you have construction on 285 through Antonito. What's happening there?
Okay, yeah, let's move farther south to Antonito. So just actually north between Antonito and Alamosa on the bridges, about 1 mile north of the town of Antonito, they're going to replace one bridge and then resurface another bridge deck that crosses the Conejos River. And that project, traffic may see some 15-minute delays. They may expect to come up to those temporary signals, so there's going to be some wait times. And that project could get started as early as November of this year. It's a winter project, and we're going to resurface those bridges, replace one. So that's for all you commuters out there. Little heads up, that's coming. And then if you move farther southwest to Highway 17, Lisa?
Okay, I'll take that one. We are going to be resurfacing, repaving the US 17, which is from Antonito, about 15 miles headed southwest toward La Manga Pass.
Gotcha.
And if anybody's driven on that roadway, you'll know that our maintenance crews have been maintaining that roadway best they can with, patching potholes, doing chip seals, doing crack sealing. That's when they come in and they put tar in the cracks that are found on the pavement, because we don't want the moisture to get down in that and underneath and create more potholes. But our maintenance crews do a great job, and they try to maintain our highways as best they can. But at some point, it just needs a total resurfacing, and that's what's going to happen. But that will be this coming spring.
Spring of 2026. I'm going to go back to the Antonito 285 resurfacing work, because I want to just understand quickly again what happens at the bridges. Because I'm thinking of the bridge on 285 at the Conejos River there, and now I'm picturing, I'm like, so what do you have to do again there?
Yeah, so I'll try to give you a visual. So one of the bridges, it's not in full need of a replacement, so we're just going to repave the top of it, resurface it, and then the next bridge is going to be taken out and put in a new structure. So what you'll see, and this is why it's a winter project, the water's down a bit lower, or maybe the canal's not flowing, is traffic may be diverted onto a dirt little detour while we replace those bridges.
Interesting. That'd be fun. Looking forward to watching that then.
Yeah.
That's coming up possibly in November. We're going to keep an eye on that one and help people pay attention and be aware of that. I want to go back up, and I apologize for this, because we were talking earlier before Antonita, we were talking about Del Norte. Now, was reminded that in the South Fork area, there's a rather large RV park going in there right off the highway. And last week I heard concerns by the Rio Grande County commissioners about getting access to that off the highway and the safety concerns of that project right off the highway. And I don't know if CDOT... Didn't sound like CDOT is doing anything yet in that area, but I wonder, I guess I'm asking, is CDOT aware of that project there? And are you aware of any safety mitigate, anything like that?
Yeah, so this goes back to what we're talking about earlier. There's actually a few big developments happening in South Fork. There's a new gas station. There is, I think, affordable housing community and that RV park. And again, it goes back to us requiring developments that have a high volume of traffic to complete traffic studies, go through our permitting process. We want to follow state and federal standards for making it a safe access point off our highways. So I'm not too sure about the details about the RV park, but what I can tell you is we are making a few other of the newer developments, like the gas station and the housing area, build safe accesses. The gas station is already open. They're going to eventually have a direct access onto the highway. Right now they're using a little temporary one. And then the housing development isn't allowed to open until that development builds a safe access onto the highway. So it could be something like that with the RV park you're mentioning.
Interesting. I'm gonna follow up on that just because that's a very visible project and you hear a lot of people talking about, well, it's right there off the highway. So you're hearing that. I'm just curious. Appreciate you coming in. We're going to ask you one more thing before we let you go, and we appreciate again all the time. It's great to talk to both of you because it's really, I mean, you hear a lot about CDOT in the community. You do. Pro or con?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you're an agency that is on people's minds.
Right, right. And, you know, we're that type of a the work that we do is, it's bound for criticism, right? But I hope that everyone knows that we truly are public servants and we want the best for all the communities. So,
yeah, I appreciate you coming in here. And I appreciate, again, for me, it's just me personally, the emphasis on multimodal roads and passageways for all of us. I really appreciate that. You said that winter cameras, we're coming into the winter season, and I use those CDOT winter cameras when I'm thinking of going over La Vida, I'm thinking of going over Wolf Creek, I do use that. So I appreciate those cameras, but you're saying they may be temporarily down this winter? Adair, tell us about that.
Yeah, so if you go on to cotrip.org, many of you may be familiar with it, and you check out those cameras, what you see now will stay through the winter. There have been about 22 cameras in our region that were removed earlier this summer. And what CDOT's doing there is those cameras either had poor communication, weren't that reliable up on high mountain passes, depended on cell service. Like, for example, Highway 17, La Manga and Cumbres Pass, those cameras are gone. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. It was kind of contentious. Anyways, those were vendor managed cameras. We ended that contract with the vendor because we want to take those cameras under our own CDOT wings. We want to get more reliable cameras and cameras that our CDOT crews can fix in a more timely manner. We were depending on a third party vendor to travel through the whole entire state, fix everything that was wrong with 136 cameras across the state. So it may be a year or two before those cameras are fully back up and running, but what we're hoping to see is a more reliable, clearer view of your highway and something we can get our teams in there to fix. So stay with us, be patient. I love the cameras as much as the next guy. What we can say is the alternatives. Lisa can talk about other tools on CoTrip.
We still want everyone to go to cotrip.org because it is such a great resource if you're traveling across the state. Even though you might have a favorite camera that's down and we won't see it replaced for a while, you still have ways of knowing what the travel is like on that stretch of highway. And there are so many different layers and features on that interactive map. So we encourage everybody to go in and explore it. Click on the different layers and see what you can come up with. One of them is the road conditions. So if we start seeing weather, go ahead and rely upon the road condition feature versus your camera. And the road condition feature is actually, we're able to know exactly what things are like on the roadway because guess who's watching out for us? The plow driver. and he is communicating to our communications and our operations centers that load CoTrip with all of the up-to-date, accurate, timely information that's needed for the map and for all of the folks that are using that for travel.
I want to take a trip in a snowplow sometime and watch those operations over Wolf Creek. That'd be pretty cool.
We can set that up.
And we might have to do that, Owen, huh? We're gonna have to connect.
We know a few people. Nice. We know a few drivers.
No, we appreciate you guys coming in. It's good to see you both. Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod on our episode with Lisa Swantes and Adair Christensen. They're with the Colorado Department of Transportation. They cover the Southwest region, including the Valley. Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods. See you around the valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.